Hello, everyone, and welcome to podcast number 65. I call this podcast Bashed in the Head, and the reason being is I've been learning e-builds, and what e-builds are is in Gen2 speak, an e-build is actually a little bash script that sets up the actual install of when you want to install new programs through the Portage Package Manager. The Portage Package Manager calls the e-build, which is basically a bash script. Bash is an essential component of the Linux Gen2 e-build system. It was chosen as e-build's primary language for a number of reasons. First, it has an uncomplicated and familiar syntax that is especially well suited for automates the calling of external programs, and Bash is very well suited to this type of application. Second, Bash's support for function allowed the e-build system to have modular, easy to understand code. Third, the e-build system takes advantage of Bash's support for environmental variables, allowing package maintainers and developers to configure it easily on the fly. I'll talk about some of the resources I've used to try to learn Bash a little bit better. I knew the basics of Bash as far as just working out of the shell. And the first thing users of the Unix or Linux operating system come face to face with is the shell. The shell is the Unix term for user interface to the system, something that lets you communicate with the computer via the keyboard and the display. Shells are just separate programs that encapsulate the system, and as such, these are many to choose from. Systems are usually set up with a standard shell and that new users adopt without question. However, some of these standard shells are rather old and lack many of the features of the newer shells. This is a shame because shells have a large bearing on one's working environment. Since changing shells is as easy as changing hats, there's no reason not to change to the latest and greatest in shell technology. Nowadays, almost all Linux systems come pre-configured as Bash as your shell. So when you open up a terminal, you're usually in Bash. Now you can change this to other shells, but for the most part, we're all using Bash. Okay, so what can you do with Bash? Well, you can do a lot with Bash. Bash has, one of the first things you start out with is Bash conditionals. And Bash conditionals is basically just if something, then do something else, and then finish. So if you just put like if whatever you want to do, then go ahead and do something and then finish. So now if you want multiple selection, so you just put if something, then do stuff, and then ELIF, which is basically like if, else. So ELIF, do something else, then do some other stuff, else. If it happens to be a full moon, then go ahead and howl, or else. If it happens to be in the daytime, go to the beach, finish. So basically what it is just multiple selection there is just if, else, else, else. And what you do is in the middle you put if and then ELIF, ELIF, and then else. It's the same as, that's pretty much the same as with Python. If else is in Python. First, that's one thing you can do. With Gen2, there's a whole bunch of already set up functions. So you use these if and else's or if ELIF, and then you can run another function. So there's functions EINFO, there's functions eConfig, there's a whole pile of functions. So if a condition exists, then you go ahead and run some other function. Now Bash also has selection tests. You can do comparisons of file attributes There's a whole lot of file tests in Bash. In the general form of the file test is operator file names. All right, to go along with Bash, we have a bunch of tools that we can use. One of the first tools that you'll start using is cat, which is file concentration. Another one that you'll use is cut, column concentration. Another one you'll use is diff and patch, file differences. Echo, print strings, false and true, generating return codes, find, finding files, grep, text filtering, head and tail, line extraction, sed, stream editor, sort, sorting text, tr, character translation, and unique, filtering duplicates. So with cat, basically all I use cat for is if I want to see inside a file, what's inside a file, then I can use cat and some file. And you can also redirect it to another command, cat, some file. And then the pi sign, which is a straight up and down bar. And then some command. Basically, that's all I use cat for. I'm sure there's other uses for it, but that's all I've started using it for. The next command we were talking about is cut. Now, cut is very powerful. The cut tool can be used to extract specific columns from files which are delimited by a particular character or by column numbers. It can be passed file names on the command line. If none are specified, it reads from stdin. You know, also cut is used a lot in bash scripts. The cut tool considers the first character in a line to have index 1. The -c, -f, and -b switches take a perimeter listing the desired columns. This can be a single value or a more complex list of values separated by commas. Each value can be a single number or two numbers separated by hyphens representing low, high. If low is specified, it is treated as the first column. If high is unspecified, it is treated as being up to the last character, in other words, inclusive. To select particular characters from each line, use the C switch. For particular bytes, not the same as characters when used in multi-byte text, use the B switch. To specify particular fields, use the F switch. When using F, the field delimiter can be specified using the D switch. The default value is the tab character. The S switch instructs cut to suppress lines which do not contain any instances of the delimiter. By default, they are echoed intact. This is just a basic general talk about cut. I'm not going to get into too much detail because, to be perfectly honest, I'm learning also. So I don't want to give you any bad information. But if you go to linuxcrazy.com, I will have a link to some better documentation. Okay, the next one I've been learning is diff and patch. The diff tool is used to create patches, sometimes called diffs. A patch is a program, computer science definition, which modifies text across one or more files. Typically, these are used for making changes to source code before it is compiled. So basically, with Gen 2, if you find a problem with a e-build, then you submit a patch. So you basically use the diff tool to create the patch file, and then you submit the patch in your bug report so that the maintainer has a easy way of fixing the e-build. Also, sometimes there's patches that need to be made to the make file. Also, sometimes there's patches that need to be made to the configure scripts. So different patches for different things. And basically, the simplest invocation is what you'll do is you have two files. You have an old file and a new file. Basically, what people will do is you'll take the old file and the new file. You'll take the old file and put it in a folder called A. And you'll take the new file, use the same name, and put it in a folder called B. And then you'll diff, and then the U switch, diff U, old file, new file. You know, you have to make sure that you put the full path there if you have it in A and B, or you can just diff the two files, but you'd have to rename the two files naturally. So you'd have diff original and diff new file. That's pretty much it on the diff and patch. The next little tool that you'll be using is, well, it's a simple echo. You just echo in your print strings, and what this does is it just kind of keeps you informed about what's going on. Or you can even do echo some variable, and you can grep the substring. We'll get to grep here in a minute. So the standard uses of echo is in standard calls echo command with no additional options, outputs the arguments passed to it to standard output. So basically it just echoes whatever you put into it to the screen. The next one that we'll go to is false and true. The false utility can be used to obtain a non-zero exit code. The true utility always produces a zero exit code. And next we'll go to finding files. Now this is a very good little tool to use. Find utility can be used to search for and perform commands upon groups of files matching a given set of criteria. The basic usage is find, the path, and then the rules. So some useful rules include name, only find files with a certain name, type F, only find regular files, type D, only find directories, type L, only find symbolic links, user foo, find only files belonging to user foo, group foo, find only files belonging to group foo. By default, find will echo a list of matching files to the standard output. This can be used in a while loop in your bash scripts. All right, the next one we'll do is, let's see what's up next, is grep. Oh boy, here we go. Now we're going to start getting serious. Now, grep is a tool can be used to extract lines matching a given regular expression. And boy, regular expression is a whole nother thing in itself. I've been fooling around with regular expression even from my Python learning experiences. And I'll tell you what, I mean, there's no end to learning regular expressions. I could spend, to be honest with you, I could spend 6 months just learning regular expression. I'm not kidding you. You would think that it wouldn't be that hard to figure out. The basics isn't that hard to figure out, but there's just so much options that you can do with regular expressions. But even at that, you can still get started with grep doing basic text filtering. And it's one good thing about grep is that you can do it on the command line. So you can practice all you want with the grep. But grep is used a lot to find out pattern inside a file. So like if you just wanted to see a specific thing inside a file, then one of the tools that you could use is grep. So the next one we're going to move to is head and tail. Now this is used a lot in bash scripts. The head and tail utilities can be used to obtain only the first or last parts of file respectively. Both will read from files named in the command line or stand-in if no files are provided. The head utility takes a single argument, n, which must be followed by an integer, indicating the desired number of lines to display. The tail utility is similar, but takes lines from the end of the file. The n argument specifies how many lines to display. So this is also used in conjunction with our next little tool, which is sed. Sed's a very powerful tool used a lot in bash scripts. So basically, if you wanted to, let's say you wanted to replace all instances of foo with bar, then, and you wanted to just to do it on the first five lines of a file, then you would put head, and then your dash n, fives for the five first lines, input text, and then you would use your redirect, your pi sign, and then sed e, and then s forward slash foo bar forward slash g, which is g is global, and then you would use the greater than sign to go ahead and redirect the whole thing to output text, And basically what that'll do is it'll take the first five lines of input text. It'll replace foo with bar globally. That means not just the first instance, but all of them. And you can go on and on and on with the head and tail and said. Said is all-time leader as far as being able to edit files on the fly, I call it, basically. Said is sometimes it is better to use regular expressions to manipulate content rather than patching sources. This can be used for small changes, especially those which are likely to create patch conflicts across versions. Said is very, very powerful. Said is the ultimate stream editor. Said is a marvelous utility. Unfortunately, most people never learn its real power. The language is very simple, but the documentation is terrible. The Solaris online manual pages for Said are 5 pages long, and 2 of those pages describe the 34 different errors you can get. A program that spends as much space documenting the errors than it does documenting the language has a serious learning curve. But don't fret, you can start out with the basics of Said, and there's a bunch of good online tutorials for Said. And again, if you go to linuxcrazy.com, I'll point you in the right direction for some great tutorials for Said. All right, the next one we'll go to is the sort tool. The sort tool can be used to sort text, naturally. It sorts the contents of the files named on the command line, or you can use it in a script, or the text provided on standard input. If no files are given, output is to standard output by default, unless a output, that's a O switch, file name option is provided. To ignore a case, the S switch may also be used. Again, and with all of these little tools, some of the best information is, I hate to say it, but some of the best information is just go ahead right back to the man page, man sort. And you read through that, and it pretty much gives you the best description of sort that I found. And the next one we're going to be talking about is TR, character translation. Now, this one I haven't used much, so I can't really talk too much on it, but I'll give you the basic understanding of it. The TR command can be used to translate, squeeze, and delete character sequences. And TR, unlike most other utilities, only reads from standard input and only writes to standard input. Therefore, you'll have to use TR option input output. Like I said, I don't really know too much about TR, so we'll have to move on. Unique, I know a little bit about. That's for filtering duplicates. The unique utility can be used to filter adjacent duplicate lines and files or in the text provided through standard output. So basically, you just use sort and then the U switch to sort duplicates out of a file name. So like if you have, if you've used grep and you're getting a bunch of duplicates, then you can, or if you use sed and you're getting a bunch of duplicates, then you can use unique to just to get it down to one. Basically, that's that. So this box here that I'm doing the podcast from, I'm using Pulse Audio on it because this box here is a unstable box, they say, in Gen 2 terms. And it's full unstable. So it got to be too much trouble trying to keep Pulse Audio out. So a while back, I went ahead and enabled Pulse Audio on this box. And I had to do some research to figure out how Pulse Audio works. And I think I did a podcast about it. If not, I have some links to a couple of the documentation that I've done for Pulse Audio. Not really full documentation, just based on kind of a frequently asked questions or how-tos. Now, Pulse Audio has been working here fine for like Flash, for just playing regular music, for anything like that. But the problem I have with it is in Audacity. And Audacity is very important to me with doing these podcasts because that's what I use to edit my podcasts. And Audacity uses port audio. It doesn't use pulse audio. So you have to use the DMix mixer that comes that's part of ALSA, as I understand it. The problem that I have with Audacity is sometimes the option for that DMix mixer is available when I open it, and sometimes it's not, and I don't have any idea what's stopping it from being available. It could be that something else is stealing the sound, but I'm not exactly sure. So what happens is, if I want to edit something, I can't play back and edit from Audacity. What happens is, if I'm not using the DMix output plugin, then when I play it, it goes in about 2 seconds. It just flies by, or else it locks up. It's really a pain. So I don't know. I mean, I need to try to figure out what in the world is causing it to not be available, the DMix not to be available. So I'll keep you posted if I figure it out. I thought I had this figured out and it was working fine for a while, but now just today when I want to go ahead and do a podcast, because it's been about 3 weeks since I've done a podcast, so I wanted to put a podcast out, I go to do the podcast and now I can't edit with Audacity. What I'm going to have to do is, now I'm going to have to save this podcast. I'm going to have to put it on a USB stick. And then I'm going to have to put it on another computer that has Audacity that actually works correctly. So it's a pain in the neck. It would be nice just to record it right here, edit it here, do everything I got to do, and then be done with it. Because doing these podcasts is more than just recording the podcast. Once I get the podcast done, now, naturally, as you can tell, I'm not the best speaker in the world, so I have to do a little bit of editing just to make it halfway presentable. Otherwise, it would sound like terrible. So I do that. Have to do a little bit of editing. Now, once I've done the editing, then I have to go ahead and put the little song in the beginning, the song in the end. Then I have to go ahead and edit in any, like people have promos, stuff like that, if there happens to be any of that. The next step is I go ahead and upload it to the server, linuxcrazy.com. And once I upload it to linuxcrazy.com, then I need to go ahead and figure out my little spiel as far as the introduction. Then once I have the introduction, then I need to go ahead and put together all of the different links that I've talked about. Then once I put together all the different links I've talked about, I need to go ahead and edit the feeds, both the AUG feed and the MP3 feed. And I go ahead and edit the AUG and the MP3 feed. Then once I go ahead and edit the AUG and the MP3 feed, then I need to go ahead and update the website at linuxcrazy.com and add all the links and the media files, links, and any pictures that I want to include and stuff like that. So it's not as easy as just recording and then be done with it. I mean, there's a lot more that goes along with it. So I wanted to get this podcast out and I wanted to record it and I wanted to edit it right here without having to go ahead and load it up on a USB stick, go ahead and stick it in another computer, edit it over there, take it back over to this computer, and then do all that other stuff with it. But it looks like that's what I'm going to have to do until I figure out this stupid Pulse Audio. All right, that's my rant for the day. I'm going to go ahead and get this podcast out. Sorry it's been a while since I did a podcast. I've got a few interviews lined up. Basically, I've been spending a lot of time with this Gen 2 development stuff, learning, and also with the PR project that I'm getting more involved in. So I've been kind of slacking on my podcasting, to be perfectly honest with you. I'll go ahead and get this little podcast out, and stop by linuxcrazy.com. Also stop by IRC Freenode, and stop by pound linuxcrazy, and stop by and say hello. My nick on there now, I used to be CompRookie 2000, but since I've gone into the Gen 2 development, I changed it to a little bit more general professional sounding. is D. Abbott. So it's D. A-B-B-O-T-T, which is basically is my name. My name is David Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, like Abbott and Costello. All right, stop by, say hello. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'll try to put one out in a couple weeks. I'll try to get you a good interview lined up. And thanks a lot for listening. See y'all later. Bye-bye.